You're listening to KVOO 90.7 FM Portland, community-owned and operated public radio. This is the OMO Variety Hour. Now Jan Hawken is here talking with PSU graduate student David Hall regarding North American Indians and their concepts of sustainability.
Good morning. Welcome to KBOO, David Hall.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Dave is a graduate student in the psychology department at Portland State University and carrying out a program or a series of studies related to Native perspectives on sustainability. And he'll be talking today about his research that includes not only a study of Native perspectives on sustainability, but a series of pieces that will, two of which have been produced and broadcast. One has been broadcast through Portland Community Media, and another is scheduled, and there'll be more coming up on that front. We'll hear more about that part of your project later.
Yes.
So, Dave, let's start with this concept of sustainability. Sustainability, in a sense, is a buzzword that encompasses many environmental and social issues and many critiques, and perhaps it's a term that is has become quite bloated with meanings and kind of can collapse as a term that has some kind of a critique attached to it. How do you use the term sustainability in your own project of research?
Well, your point is exactly why I began pursuing this question. I've been engaged in the dialogue about sustainability for a number of years and have noticed how the term has lost a lot of its value as it gets used more and more. And so I wanted to pursue a project that more deeply engaged what are we talking about when we use that term sustainability. And first, we need to explicitly acknowledge that we're on an unsustainable track. Our collective behavior in human society is fundamentally unsustainable. And so that's a starting point. And when we see it in those terms, then we need to be more critical about how we use the term itself, sustainability. What's that alternative? What is a sustainable trajectory? So the idea of engaging Native communities on the question was pursued because of the long track record of existing in a sustainable fashion within place. And again, wanting to go deeper with those questions about what do we mean when we say sustainability is really at the heart of the project. So I'm remaining a little non-assertive in my own use of the language right now while I ask the questions of the Native communities, Native leaders on this question. What do they mean when they use the term sustainability, if they use that term at all?
Now, this is a research project that many wouldn't associate with psychology, that it doesn't immediately necessarily raise psychological questions about process of social change or critiques of such a broad scope of the nature of society and the direction of our economy. How do you position this project in relation to your training as a psychologist?
Well, first, it's very much an interdisciplinary project, and it's rooted in psychology because when we're talking about sustainability, first, it's a concept, and so we have these constructs that we hold in our head and these mental models or internal representations of reality that we work with to guide our thinking and govern our actions. And worldviews is at the heart of that. What we hold as our assumptions about the nature of reality, what our belief and value systems are. And so that's what we're largely trying to get at is these questions of what are our mental models around the concept of sustainability. And what are some of our core assumptions, beliefs, and values that are guiding our unsustainable trajectory, and what can be another set that can guide us towards a sustainable path?
Some of the these cognitive projects focus on the correspondence between a particular cognitive process or schema or model of the world and how it matches an existing reality. Yours is more oriented towards social change. Is there a tradition you draw on that is more dynamic in that sense? Because you're interested in not just describing the world but changing it.
Yes, there is a rich heritage in psychology in particular and social sciences more broadly too of being engaged in activism research, where the goal is not just to explain phenomenon, but it's to actively promote social change. And I'm very explicit about that being part of the motivation of this project. There's another piece to it, too, I think. When we engage in traditional psychological research, which has great value in its place, we're often trying to objectively represent the world, and there's a lot of subjectivity that's inherent to, well, real life and then also all research. We're trying to be explicit about that in this project as well, and to take more time with the participants and their views and trying to draw out deeper meaning and representing it as subjective truth as opposed to necessarily objective reality. So for an example, one quote here from one of the interviews, this is with a gentleman, Larry Mikulioff, who lives in Anchorage, Alaska. And his quote starts out, "In the native worldview, generally speaking, everything is connected, profoundly so, far beyond what most people understand. One has to be very deeply aware, not in a mental sense, but in an embodied sense of awareness, which is very difficult to explain in Western terms what it really means." He goes on to try to explain, for our Western minds, but he's also explicit about saying when we put things into words, we tend to minimize them in terms of what they truly mean in a real life context. And so we need to be careful not to try to over-explain things. And there's a sense of inherent knowing, inherent knowledge that's within us that needs to be tapped into and found. And that's an experiential thing, not just a mental state of knowing.
So much of traditional research in psychology focuses on breaking things down into discrete variables and quantifiable elements that can be understood in relation to each other. And so often by the time you finish a study through the traditional methods, you wouldn't recognize any one participant or their worldview at the end. But you're trying to preserve something of the lived experience of that interconnectedness as you go through the various parts of your research process. So how have you done that? How have you gone through a process of research that has as its aim trying to not only move beyond how you've been trained to organize the world from your own position, Western science, to getting some feel for other ways of organizing experience around this concept of sustainability? How have you gone about it?
Slowly.
That's important.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the key things is to take time both in developing the connection, the relationship with the participant, making sure that they fully understand what the goals are about the research, and then giving them time to speak to the issue. So our interview format is one that gives space for there to be greater depth as opposed to it being, you know, a short survey where we've largely done the pre-categorization and largely constrained the opportunities for perspectives to be relayed. And then the next phase is the phase that I'm really in, and that's working with the material and looking to see what's really here, what's being stated. And I need to continue to be cautionary and slow in proceeding because the tendency of the human mind, particularly one that's been well trained in the scientific paradigm of the Western world, is to minimize the categorizations. And obviously that needs to occur to a certain degree so that we can have a conversation, but not to categorize things and break things down.
Reduce.
So that they, yeah, reduce, thank you, so that it loses its fundamental meaning.
So why Native communities? You said earlier that part of this project is trying to step outside kind of the dominant mode of doing things and learn from marginalized communities. And can you say a bit more about some of the participants from Native communities and what you're trying to learn from them?
Good question. Well, first, it is a value for us to learn from a perspective outside of our own perspective. And so while the Native communities and the Native leaders have largely been influenced by the Western paradigm, not to overly generalize there, but the Western world has had a significant influence on Native communities, they're not as deeply entrenched in it, and they also have a connection with traditional ways of knowing. And there's also a recognition that if we want to figure out how to move towards sustainability and we're living within a particular region or a particular place, it might be wise to actually engage those people whose ancestors have successfully lived sustainably within this region for countless generations. And so that's, I think, really the core of why engaging Native communities.
It's recovering knowledge from history that's been cast aside as kind of the refuse of a former ways. And that, so in some ways, it's, you are doing this recovery of cultural memory project.
Yes, and I think also it's a really exciting time in Indian country where we're in an era of self-determination that they're finally given an opportunity to exercise the rights of sovereignty and make decisions and be empowered on their own terms. And so there's a unique opportunity to contribute to that. Okay, where are we going then, and what do we draw from the past that is relevant in a modern context? And you also asked about who these people are. The participants are largely from recognition through the Buffett Award, which is hosted by EcoTrust, nominated by indigenous communities, and voted upon by respected indigenous leaders. And they represent democratically elected leaders within their communities, as well as grassroots organizers and community activists.
Can you, before we close today, can you say a bit about the pieces that would be broadcast? And there's one broadcast already, one scheduled coming up, and how people can learn about this side and support the side of the project that goes beyond the academic context of papers and reports for journals, but your aim is for a wider audience for these ideas and perspectives, and to,
yes,
and to also capture the complexity and diversity of points of view and ideas within Native communities.
Yes, first, listeners can learn a lot more at www.nativeperspectives.net. And we have a couple of video pieces that have been produced already. One, Native Perspectives on Sustainability, Nicole Maher, and the other one that's to air soon through Portland Community Media is Native Perspectives on Sustainability, Bobby Connor. We hope to produce more of these. Funding is needed to make that happen. So if people like what they hear about what this project is contributing, they can make donations through the website, which again is www.nativeperspectives.net.
And those are tax-deductible contributions.
Yes, they
project
are. Yes, they are.
And expanding it to a wider audience.
Yeah, again, very much an explicit aim is to promote social change, not just contribute to an academic conversation.
Thanks so much for being with us this morning, Dave. This is Jan Hawken with David Hall talking about Native Perspectives on Sustainability.
Thank you for having me.